Joining us now for his weekly appearance on the Saitama Hotline, he's an analyst for ESPN and the ACC Network. Roddy Jones, welcome back.
What's up, Scott? How are you, man?
I'm aggravated with this guy, this AP bowler, and you don't have to comment. You don't have to say. He every week, Roddy, he's got Clemson too high. He had them number 15 on his ballot this week. And I'm just like, this guy doesn't appreciate being an AP voter. He has them 15, and he's got Texas A&M number 21. I just want to call him.
Yeah, I mean, you should. Clemson, you know, 15 is too high, absolutely, for Clemson. I do think that they're a team that's worthy of being top 25. I mean, that defense alone, like, find me 25 teams that are going to be able to score 20 points on that defense. I'm not sure you could. And if you can't, then I think Clemson has to be in the top 25. But you're right, 15 way too high.
Yeah, this guy. We'll talk about Clemson in a minute, Roddy. First, I want to get your take on Dave Clawson. He was named the Associated Press Midseason ACC Coach of the Year, and I think he's one of the most underrated guys in the country, and I think what he's done at Wake Forest is nothing short of spectacular and astounding. Do you see him ever leaving? Because I'm of the mind that he just never leaves. I think he's going to be that guy who sticks it out and he retires and they put a statue of him out in front of the stadium.
Look, man, I tend to agree with you. What he's been able to do at Wake Forest, the consistency, the way he's done it, has been absolutely fantastic. And I really appreciated Dave Clawson's patient approach. You know, he's a guy that came in, redshirted everybody, basically, even guys that can help him, which meant they were terrible his first couple of seasons. And what that allowed him to do is build something that's been sustainable. The places that it's really hard to get good players at a place like Wake Forest, he's on the lines of scrimmage, and offensive line-wise, you go look at that depth chart, just about every single one of those guys, actually every single one of those guys, has been redshirted at some point in time, and they don't typically play until their, you know, third year, which is their redshirt sophomore year, or their fourth year, their redshirt junior year. Then they play for a couple years, and you have a new batch behind them. He always finds great competitive receivers that are under the radar. I mean, think of the receivers that they've had and the impacts that they've had in the ACC. Greg Dortch was fantastic. He turned Kendall Hinton into an NFL receiver from a quarterback. Scotty Washington was a really good one. Sage Surratt, obviously, most recently. Now you got Jaquari Roberson, Taylor Morin, and A.T. Perry. So it's been miraculous with what he's done. The thing that he doesn't have that some of the greats of the past have at Wake Forest is a conference championship. And it's a different league than when Jim Grobe won it in 06. But if he's able to add that conference championship, then they need to build a statue to Dave Clawson.
You know, we can't really underscore patience. I mean, he went to a place where they gave him time, and he was able to almost grow. And you mentioned offensive linemen. Grow offensive linemen. You bring them in as freshmen. You give them 3 years at the training table, 3 years in the weight room, let him develop physically. That's kind of what it is. They let him almost farm.
Yeah, look, there's places where you're going to go, and guys are built to be offensive linemen from the jump. They look for guys with certain traits. You know, is there a 250-pound tight end that we can turn into, who's maybe 6'5", that we can get in here and put 50 pounds on him over the course of 3 years of good weight, and he turns into an offensive tackle? Is there an athletic guy at center who's really smart, whose arms maybe aren't long enough for a UNC or an NC State that they can get in, who's really smart, cares about academics, that they can turn into a center? Is there a defensive lineman that they have on their team that is athletic enough to move to guard? Like, that's the kind of stuff that they have to do, and they've been so good at it. And then they've got a system that's fairly unique. So the being in that system for that long really teaches those offensive linemen how to execute that ride and read system. So it's been absolutely fantastic. And then the quarterback play, I didn't even mention that. Like, the fact that you had Jamie Newman, who was a hot commodity. You had Sam Hartman, back to John Wolford, who was an excellent quarterback at Wake Forest. You can't say enough just about the consistency that they've had at the positions that really matter. Offensive line, quarterback, and then they've always had playmakers at receiver.
You know, Roddy, I once had a coach tell me that if you were to strip a team down and just put them all in gray sweatsuits, you didn't know Alabama from a Division III team or even, you know, G5 for purposes of this, But if you pointed out which guys were the defensive linemen for each team, he would be able to pick out which was the better team. You could just tell they were different. They looked different. They were physically just more imposing. Is that what do you look for when you try to identify to the better team? Maybe not looking at stats, but when you physically look at players, what would that be a good identifier, the defensive line?
100%. Offensive and defensive line. That's what you look at. And it's not just their overall size and girth. How do they carry the weight? Length is a big thing. You know, you get guys walking around that you know, are 6'5" and have arms that are, you know, down to their knees. Those guys have great length. And that stuff tends to win in football. Now, it's not an indicator all the time, but more times than not, if you get a collection of size and length, at the Division I level, speed is something you can't see immediately, but that would be the other one. Those tend to be the better teams because they can erase things faster when they make mistakes, which means they don't have to be as perfect. So, like, I have not been on the field with Georgia's defense this year, but I was on the field with Ohio State's defense in 2019, and that's the best collection of athletes I've ever seen in college ball. Now, I haven't been around Alabama a lot. I've been around Georgia a lot, but just not this past year's defense. But like, when you saw Chase Young walk out, he looked like a transformer. Like, just a guy that's 6'5", you know, 270 pounds. There's not an ounce of fat on him. He's got long arms. He's a high-waisted guy with big legs, a big butt, and that's where the power comes from. So when you see a guy like that walk out, and then behind him walks Jeff Okuda, 6'1" corner, twitchy, long. Damon Arnett, same kind of deal, a little bit shorter but incredibly twitchy. Jordan Fuller's on that team. Like, they just had such a collection of athletes. Linebacker, 6'3", big. But the defensive line and offensive lines for those type teams are where it really stands out. And honestly, that's where Clemson hasn't really looked the part. The offensive line hasn't looked like places like Ohio State, like Alabama, like Georgia.
He's Roddy Jones of ESPN, the ACC Network. You can follow him on Twitter at RoddyJones20. Roddy, before we let you go, I want to get your take on Clemson at Pittsburgh. I think this is the biggest challenge Clemson's defense is going to get this year, specifically the biggest individual challenge it's going to get in the form of Kenny Pickett. What are you expecting, and what are you going to be watching for?
For Clemson's defense, I think they're going to be good against Pitt. They're good against everybody. The thing is, you got to rely on Clemson's offense to stay on the field some. And now the reports are out that Joseph Ngata is out for the game. One of their big playmakers, Hunter Rayburn, the starting center, is already out. It's a Pitt defense that loves to cause havoc. It's a Clemson offense that's already been terrible this year. So for Clemson, I think it comes down to one thing. It's creating big plays. You have to create explosives against Pitt on defense because they're going to come up and play press man against you. They're gonna stack the box, always outnumber you, trying to prevent you from running the football, which is what they do. So you're going to have to hit big plays. It's going to be on DJ. His running ability could be a big factor too, although it hasn't really been a difference maker very much this year. But if you're going to flip around to the strength-on-strength matchup, the ability to get to and sack Kenny Pickett is the biggest thing. He's been excellent at evading the rush, you know, sort of drawing comparisons to Joe Burrow this year with his ability to move with his legs, to throw, and to get yardage. So if there's one thing for the defensive side of the football for Clemson, it's sacking Kenny Pickett. If there's one thing for the offensive side of Clemson, it's creating explosive plays. Pitt just needs to play its game. Don't turn the ball over. Make Clemson beat you. Because if they're able to put up 25 points, like, do you think Clemson's offense can do that? I don't think so. So I think, you know, 20, 25 points is probably the magic number for Pitt on offense.
Where are you this weekend, Roddy?
I got Boston College at Louisville. A couple of teams that have had hard luck losses the past few weeks. I mean, Louisville blowing the loss to Virginia a few weeks ago. That was really tough for them. They're coming off a bye. And then Boston College, last week against NC State, the week before against Clemson, two games that they certainly could have won. The NC State game got out of hand, but they were in that game in the first half. And some freaky plays kind of blew the doors off that one. But I'm excited about it.
He's Roddy Jones of the ACC Network. You can follow him on Twitter at RoddyJones20. Roddy, appreciate you joining us. Safe travels. Let's chat soon.
You got it, Scott. Appreciate it.
All righty. It's Roddy Jones of the ACC Network joining us on the Saitama Hotline.